You are now listening to the My Rogue Podcast, a casual Star Wars conversation.
Welcome back to another all thriller, no filler episode of the My Rogue Podcast. I'm your one host, Superfan Mike, joined always by
Casual Brian
and Fanboy Eric.
Short, you sweet, know, to the point, ladies.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I'm gonna say I might have to put the kibosh on the all thriller, no filler. Because we
do have a lot of filler in the beginning. Yeah, I was thinking.
No, not necessarily that. No filler. But we're saying all thriller, no filler so much that is it losing its impact?
I agree with that. Maybe the fans should vote on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right, man. That's all right. It is really funny going weekly. Like I got nothing new to tell you guys. You know what's up in my life. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. You just want to talk some Kenobi today? Cut out all the filler?
Yeah.
All right.
All thriller, no filler, man.
Let's get straight in.
Keep moving.
And now we bring you Conversations from the Cantina.
And now it's time for episode 4 review of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Our least inspired intros in the history of My Rogue Podcast is tonight, but
I totally messed up. Thought I didn't have an intro tonight, so I didn't even have anything prepared.
Dude, there's
so
no
I
need.
Figured keep the facts going.
Once all again, good. Brian didn't do the reading.
Yeah, well, shock, right? But you know what though? We did this before, right? We had this little incline where we kept like trying to one up ourselves with all these like crazy intros, and occasionally you just gotta go back and set the bar real low. We start over. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, so there it was.
There it is. The bar is real low. Hey, here's some Star Wars. Okay.
Kenobi.
Oh, man. Well, hey, I mean, good news is we got episode 4 here, right? The 2 episodes left after this, but episode 4, lots of Kenobi. We got lots of Kenobi. This was exciting. I think, you know what, Mike, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, because for everyone like listening, like we will tend to like text each other very high level thoughts about a show where it's like one or two words of descriptions, and Mike came in with interesting to us.
Interesting, and yep, with the thought emoji or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that kind of left me like, ooh.
I that's I not exciting. A lot of it. No. Like I enjoyed the episode.
Okay.
The interesting things, the whole thing, like with Leia, like her facial expressions, like you'd see the fear in her eyes in her face with the Inquisitor, but you see how she holds up in the interrogation, like in A New Hope.
Yes.
They escaped pretty easily because they're tracking. It is like that parallel, like George Lucas used to talk about, like, you know, episode 1, episode 4, like they pair, like it's poetry. And it kind of reminded me of that. Yeah,
there's definitely a lot of similarities with these.
It kind of leads into New Hope where they escape easily. And Han's like, she goes, they're tracking us. It's like Leia's remembering that, like, this has happened to me before. Like,
yeah, she's like, this has happened to me a few times here.
It's making her seasoned.
Yeah.
But the other part that was really interesting to me, because I'm sitting, I'm like, there's 2 episodes left. They're in a ship with hyperdrive, and I know they're not going straight to Alderaan. They're going to go somewhere else so they can hunt them down or catch up to them instead of just going straight to Alderaan. That's kind of, I was like, this is going to be interesting because
what's the plan of what they're going
to
do?
Yeah. It's like,
dude, if they went to Alderaan, Jimmy Schmidt's coming back fighting Vietnam.
I mean, I would like for them to go right, because I'm sitting, I go, just go to Alderaan. Just like when they're sitting at, or she's sitting at the desk and talking into the mic. All these people are around.
Right.
Nobody over here. Nobody heard her fight the other guy.
The like, silent no room that she attention. Was in. Right. They could at least have made it a loud room. The fact that it was like a study hall, and she's like, okay, listen, here's what you got to do. You know, everybody would hear that. Everybody would absolutely hear that for sure. I agree with you in terms of like a gripe with the show.
Like it's little nitpicks, but I found it interesting. Like, man, no one really pays attention to anybody else. It's like, you know, they don't want to be there.
I when I was watching that as well too, I was like laughing to myself as they were sort of like infiltrating, you know, the Inquisitor's main base, and essentially how easy it was to do that when it's all said yes. and done, like the security. But it's almost an overarching theme in Star Wars that security systems, like, you really aren't that good. They're just not that good in the Star Wars universe, period. You know, right. And it's funny, like, it happens in every trilogy of Star Wars, every show, there is a easy, like, infiltration of the main bad guy's headquarters in which they can, like, sneak through it and then get, like, a comically easy getaway. In this case, it happened to be okay, but it was...
Well, yeah, because she was a ranking officer, and she kind of went back into her old school Empire ways before she decided to start helping with the path, where she just...
Tala
just talks down to the lead security guy on the floor and, like, goes, okay, just go
right,
ahead.
Right, he gets there.
Well, there is a rule through fear in that, throughout the Empire, so yes. It's, you know, if you come in and you own it, there's a good chance, if you have the clearance, you're going to get through.
Yes.
And someone else is basically just passing it down the line.
I have sensitive classified for the Grand Inquisitor. Like, name drop. Do you really want to piss off your boss?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's that it's ruled by fear. So nobody wants to be on the radar of somebody who's a higher up because of what that means. Like, yeah, you either get immediately fired, jailed, or killed. Like, that's it. Like, the only repercussions that exist in the Empire. There's no warning system, really.
But nobody pays attention to each other, what they're doing.
No, because nobody wants to get in trouble.
Don't make eye contact.
No one makes eye contact. No one's overhearing. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of why I said interested and the poetry stuff. But overall, I did enjoy the episode. So,
yeah.
Okay. That's why I put the interesting.
That's why you put interesting. Yeah. That was a big answer for why you're interesting. I thought that was because you didn't enjoy the episode.
That was like almost a full show breakdown.
Yeah. We're going into it. That's all good. Thoughts.
I mean, yeah.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I mean, it's interesting because it's like, I guess this is my least favorite episode of the four that we've gotten so far. But at the same time, I still really enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was very fun. Like, from...
I like the beginning where we saw Obi-Wan in the back to tank.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
And then Vader.
Yeah, well, they're both in the back to tank, and they're both kind of reliving the match they just had from, you know, obviously they're each other's reliving their own part in it, and that was just kind of cool. You didn't know if they were connected there or not. But,
I think that's what it's alluding to, right? Because you're having the little flashbacks of being burned or whatever, and then like... you know, and then you kept seeing Vader with that. Like, my guess is that their old, like, master and apprentice bond is being sort of rekindled right now, especially because this episode is essentially Kenobi starting to get his Force powers back as well.
Yeah, because remember, like, at the beginning with the he's kind of trying to move that little
piece
the little of metal or whatever it was.
Right, like the little tiny thing. He's like, oh, I'm starting to do it. Look at
baby steps, right?
Baby steps. Basically a youngling again, like trying to move like a tennis ball. Like, oh, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that was a cool thing as well, too, to have them sort of connected as well, too. It was interesting that I thought, like, a kind of a miss was that when they, after, like, he came back, you know, and they immediately went into, like, okay, we got a plan to how to get Leia back, and, like, they went through sort of the whole, like, resistance slash rebellion, like, classic planning stage. Everybody's standing around the hollow.
Well, they got together with the character Roken, O'Shea Jackson's character. Now, he said he was married to a Jedi or a...
He didn't say.
He goes, I once had a wife. I knew who she was before we married, and the Inquisitors caught up with her. So he didn't directly say she was a Jedi, and she also didn't. He didn't say what happened when the Inquisitors caught up with her.
Right. But the show also alluded that they are hunting Force sensitive people, not just Jedi. So it could go either way.
He also didn't say
I got to worry about every kid that moves a rock from here to Coruscant.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But he also called him General Kenobi.
Right. So, I mean,
he did refer to him as general. So,
where is this character from? Is he from the Clone Wars or something? Or is he?
I don't.
No character that I'm aware of. I think it's interesting. A totally new character.
Is it a totally new character? Because he's just like, he had like a very major, like, not a major part, but like a familiarity that made him seem like he was from somewhere else.
New Coruscant, new Kenobi was a general instantly. Just
right.
This has been a decade.
But he knows who Kenobi is.
Right.
So, if he knew Kenobi and if he's been helping Jedis and he knew Kenobi was a Jedi, all the Jedis were known to be generals and all the apprentices were commanders.
Yeah.
So it could have been basic knowledge.
It could have been. It could have been. But he's not a clone either, right? Yeah, so I don't know.
No.
Okay. Well, either way. And then they have to go, I think it's what, the Nur moon is what they called it?
Moon. The water moon.
It's a moon of Mustafar. It's a water moon of a fire planet. Makes sense.
Yeah.
No, it's a water moon in the Mustafar system. So it could be, is that,
so
Mustafar
is
a planet.
It looked off from the diagram. You see Mustafar, you see another planet, and you see this water moon kind of
going around that planet.
The other
planet. It's in the same solar system.
But it's in that system.
Yeah. Whatever. System. Semantics, details, big deal. Either way, another
They're neighbors.
They're neighbors. And, you know, fire and water. I'm sure they get along great. Yeah. So it was cool. I'll say, like, Mike, to your point where you're talking about the interesting part was with Leia as well, too, and sort of like her interrogation and thing. I thought that, to me, was definitely one of the stronger scenes in this episode, after that, right? After they're like, oh, we're going to go to, you know, Newer Moon and the Mustafar system, and they sort of go on their way. But then you sort of, like, cut back and you see Leia being interrogated by Reva, which I really enjoyed that back and forth between them. And that resolve of the 10-year-old continues to impress
me. I mean, like I said, her face, but you could tell, like, when, like, at certain points, certain phrases, she got scared. But you can also kind of tell Reva was starting to lose control in the room with that. Like,
so let me ask
the
you
way
something.
Her when, voice changed and all that.
Yeah.
When in during this scene and Reva is kind of saying, you know, they're not going to come for you. Is she telling her story?
I think so.
Maybe.
Think she's,
and is this
like partial truths to what happened to her?
Right. And is like, this a connection to this being a Padawan we see at the beginning in Order 66?
I think so.
It has
I'm more and more convinced she was a Padawan during Order 66. And she escaped, but she was abandoned.
They won't come
for
her.
Or she feels like she was abandoned. They didn't come for her.
Yeah,
I still mean, she think has this a hate is why she hates Jedi. Kenobi.
Yes.
He's the one who put the message, come back.
He is the one, when you activate the holocron, it's his face you see and his voice on the holocron for the message.
And if you're one of the younglings, Padawans, you know, in there. Now, at the same time, how old is she in the series, do you think?
Good point. Well, so then how old she's in her 20s, right? She looks
she would have been about 10 years.
10,
she's 24,
well,
she was 14.
She was a youngling, so.
She could have been an apprentice. She could have been an apprentice, too. Like, there's another interesting scenario in which, you know, she was an apprentice and something happened there with her master. Like, maybe her master was going to come back and ended up abandoning her. You know, maybe she had a bad master.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
I'm curious to see. I'm very curious to see still. Like, I'm still intrigued by Reva's character. You know, her sort of connivingness. Like, I definitely thought Leia got the one over on her, but then, it's, I guess, in the end with that
twist.
Is this
a staring contest?
Yeah.
Right. It was good. But
it was
cool
great
to see, like, Leia's, like, force powers coming into play a little bit as well, too. The fact that she was able to, like,
that natural ability when you don't know you have it yet.
Right.
You're just. And she's so young that it's not really, and it hasn't been, you know, watered, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
She was also seeing through all of, like, Reva's, like, twists of the truth or her lies, her BS. Like, oh, we're all on the same side. She goes, okay, I'll tell you. But I should tell my father first, since you just said we're all on the same side.
Yeah.
She's a smart girl. A diplomat in training already.
Yeah.
So
he is her mother.
Yeah.
Right. As this is going on, this is about the time that Obi-Wan gets to the tomb, right? With all the
he discovers the secret, like what's underneath, like
yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So the Jedi tomb. What'd you guys think about that? Because I
so I've been thinking about this. I've been talking to every Star Wars fan I come across at work, and we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
And we all think that these Jedi are either not dead, if they weren't already killed, like say in a battle or something, the ones that were captured alive and they're in some kind of stasis. And this is where the Emperor gets some midichlorian DNA for cloning purposes.
I read a theory about that online as well, too, saying that this was part of the and it could potentially pay into the Bad Batch. I mean, I guess although Bad Batch takes place before this, but because what's the mountain that they're going to? I forgot the name of that mountain, that the one where they do all the
I forget. Well, I'm
basically where they do all the clone testing anyways, right? So that's like I've heard that this could be same thing, Brian, like a way to be able to get that type of stuff there, right? Is to keep these Jedi in stasis. Apparently one of the Jedis, I didn't know him because I didn't see that episode, but when Ahsoka gets her lightsabers, like is the one guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a fun episode. They go all through town and stuff, and
That was just I, you know, I had to keep, I didn't click right away. I had to keep rewinding in that because I'm like, one of them did look familiar. Because Pat even asked, he goes, did you recognize any of those Jedis? Like, are they any? I'm like, honestly, no. And then I had to rewatch and I was like, oh, wow. Totally. Because
Yoda drops them off in the library. Yoda drops Ahsoka off in the library to meet up with him. And, you know, she obviously loses her lightsaber and all that.
But your theory that you're talking about, where there might be like just in a stasis or something, does kind of hold, because you have a youngling still with like the helmet and everything from the Jedi temple, and like,
which is crazy. Like they had a youngling in there. You're like, no, didn't care. Whoever, like wherever you are in training, you're getting in there. It's interesting. So that we were just talking about like the Clone Wars reference. Did you guys apparently there was two Jedi Fallen Order references as well too. So Mike, I don't know if you picked.
I guess there was a lot of them in there. Yeah.
There was the Purge Troopers.
Yeah, the Purge Troopers.
See them live action.
Which are under the Inquisitors, right?
Correct. They're like the Inquisitor Death Troopers, basically.
Yes,
right. To them.
Yep.
Yes, the Purge Trooper. And then I guess Kenobi's infiltration into that base actually as well too was similar to how Cal did that in Jedi Fallen Order.
Yes.
And then the water scene also. Vader did that.
That's in Jedi Fallen? At least. Maybe. I don't know.
At the end with the whole water, like holding the glass and then let the water come out. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So, I mean, hey, man, maybe we will see Cal at the end of this. Maybe that'll be pretty cool if they actually do.
That's a heavy group of tying the video game in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would make a lot of people happy, I imagine, if we ended up getting like a more concrete reference or cameo from Cal here in live action Star Wars universe.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like, and it's also like a weird dumb thing for Disney not to do. Like, you know, if you would have,
well, it depends on where the second game's gonna go though.
Well, it depends on that, but it's also like the game was created, the main character is modeled off a real actor in real life, right? It wasn't just like some random new person they invented for a video game. Like, it is like a mirror image of an actual
his voice,
person,
his look,
So, but like, it's
use that game person now while they still look like that character,
right? Like, it's a missed opportunity.
And get some stuff,
The only problem, like I said, the second game is taking place right around the same time, I believe.
So maybe they've tie in together. So maybe something will happen in the game. Make sales for the game
that can tie in even more. You know, You never know.
I mean, it all depends. Like I said, but you don't want to spoil. Because they've been keeping the story of it kind of on the DL. So
yeah, well, it might. Either way, we'll see what happens. What'd you guys think about the chase then after like Kenobi? Like, because Kenobi getting Leia was awesome. Like that scene when like the lights go out.
That was really cool.
That was dope. Like he was just like almost like a horror
imagine
scene.
Being a 10-year-old being put in that kind of
dude. You know, right?
She's a good actress. She really sold it there.
Oh yeah, and she's just screaming, like yelling for help, and like none of them are gonna help her,
right? Dude.
Like,
yeah,
that really shows you how evil the people that join the Empire are. Like, you're okay with the 10-year-old being tortured? Like,
right? She's about to have her eyeballs drawn out, and you're like, well, you did this to yourself. I tried to be your friend, but it's hard to drill your eyeballs out.
This is when Tala rings the alarm.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. This is Jerry, when Jerry causes a distraction.
When she starts talking to Reva, do you think is there any part of you for a second that was like, is she a double agent?
Part of me did think that.
I did too. I did too. I thought, oh, she's playing the Jedi the whole time. She's been making a list and like, you know, going to turn it over.
That intel that she gave over, is that like legit? Well, it
wasn't the planet they were at, so it could be false intel. From what we understand or seen so far,
right?
It's false.
Either way, but at that moment, I thought, I wonder if she's a double agent. So the good acting, I thought on that.
You know what's funny though is the fact that her cover up is lying about being a double agent, right? So is she a double agent? But then like how she gets out of it is pretending to be a double agent. So
yeah,
yeah, right, right, exactly. It was. The twist of it was good, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when we get the really cool dark scene when Obi-Wan gets his lightsaber and gets those troopers. And then, you know, the rescue starts to happen.
Right. With it coming through, which was cool too. Like seeing Kenobi kind of using like his lightsaber again. Although it's funny, like you see him, like, it seems like he lost a step, right? Like, and that's like,
oh yeah. Well, of course.
The speed in which he used to use his lightsaber and sort of like, you know, it was very jerky and things like that when he was blocking the,
fully healed too.
True. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. That's
yeah. Yeah. There's that. And you know, imagine, you know, like going to the gym. If you went to the gym every day for 20 years, and had a routine and then didn't for a decade. And then all of a sudden showed up day one. What would you be like for You'd me in backpacking when I have a long,
you'd be,
when
I'm you'd backpacking be so a lot sore one the next year, day.
Muscle memory kicks in real fast. But when it's been a while, man, those first couple of days are rough.
Yeah.
To be a Jedi with that kind of, it's not, oh, let me just start, you know.
Yeah, it's not like riding a bike, right? And he had been trained his whole life, things like that. So that's it's a lot to come back in.
Yeah, he's not pulling connected a ship to the out force. Of a swamp right now.
Right. He can barely move a little piece of metal across the room.
Exactly. Like, but you do see a buildup throughout the episode, right? Mm-hmm. And I also think what we're seeing also with Obi-Wan here is he was so scared of failure again when he was on Tatooine. Right.
Yes.
He kept saying, no, get away from me, to that one Jedi who was killed at the episode one of the series. And then obviously to Bail Organa, he's like, I don't want to leave. So he keeps saying no, He's scared. But then he does have failure. He loses to Darth Vader. Leia gets taken.
Yep.
But he's fine. He lives through it. Right. So at the same time, he's reconnecting to the Force and he's lived through his biggest fear.
True. Right. So he's getting some of his confidence back. Those two things are kind of happening
in this episode, I feel.
That's a good, that's a really good way of looking at it.
Yeah, that is a good way of putting it.
So when, I don't want to say like, Eric, it wasn't as bang for your buck maybe as 1, 2, 2, and 3. I do think this has a little bit of some deeper meaning, like I was just talking about. This is really interesting.
It is. Don't get me wrong. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed this episode, and I'm still thoroughly enjoying this series from all parts of it. I was just curious if, like, if I had to rate them from, like, best to bestest, you know, is this one the weakest of the four? But I don't know.
Well,
like, I don't know.
I think the second watch would be worthy because there's going to be surprises in the first couple episodes that aren't going to be surprises anymore.
True.
But that Tomb of Jedi is always going to be interesting.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Until we know every single person in those tanks, that's going to be a topic of conversation.
But the follow-up, what you're talking about earlier, Brian, with, you know, the Kenobi with the failure and all that. Don't forget, at the beginning of the episode, when Talo was talking to him, like, you're not fully healed. And I'm not talking just physically. Like, she said, like, the past is hard to get over. Like, you have to...
PTSD
let go or forgive yourself. You got to move on.
Yeah.
So you can heal mentally too. So he's still dealing with this, the PTSD, the mental anguish and all that he's felt for the last 10 years. So he's lost a step.
Lost a step, but you know, it's, I guess in the end, he's going to learn how to be like a hermit, right? Cause when you see old Kenobi,
he's
going
to get
Hope,
to a point where it's like, going to be like, all right, I'm shutting myself off from everybody. Like he's not going to pressure Owen to let him train Luke. It's like
But he doesn't lose his connection with the Force. Like, Ben Kenobi was good to go, right? So there's one, like, he's getting mentally tougher to be in a position that he needs to be in for long term, for preparing to be in New Hope.
He's, you know, if you were looking at kind of like one of those journeys, like the hero's journey you talk about that happens in Star Wars a lot, for Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, he was in a point where he was just down and on a plateau in his kind of overall training, and now he's learning new lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's going to take him to the next 8 years. Right.
Maybe the ascension that he sees that. I mean, he's
been living like a hermit. He's about to upgrade.
Well, yeah.
He's about to have like a place.
Yeah.
Not a cave.
That's a good point. So,
you know, so he's, you know, really we see him in a way better mental and physical situation. Yeah. 20 or 8 years down the line, but you know, it's not as dire as, say, we saw his living conditions, where it seemed more like he was putting himself through a penance.
Yes, that's a good point. Putting himself through a penance, that's a really good way to state that, Brian. Really good way. Like, you know, not do that this time around. Like, he forgives himself, right? If he can forgive himself, he can learn to live in peace as a hermit. Yes, so maybe that's why that'd be an interesting lesson, like, to take away from this whole show, is like Kenobi forgiving himself. Like, that's a good overarching theme that I hope that maybe they can pull off.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to, because we know how what happens next.
Yeah, Kenobi, that's true. Right?
Two episodes left. I mean,
two episodes, I don't know. Left. Is he gonna... they're being tracked?
Yeah, they're being tracked. I mean, oh, yeah. That was the other thing, too, with the calling out Tala right in front of everybody, calling her a traitor, and that, like, was a child and smart, old man worth it? And she's like, this isn't who I ever was. Like,
right.
But even before that, again, nobody pays attention. Kenobi's sneaking Leia around with her underneath his coat.
The world's worst disguise.
It's world's like, worst disguise.
Like, and he's like, you know, he's so scruffy, and everybody is neat and trim in the Empire. And there's like this, like, weird side, like, long.
Well, it's one of those things that are like, here comes this person who outranks me, and who cares who's walking with them? It's none of my business. And if I look at them, I may be scrubbing the inside and outside of ships for the next month and a half, because I looked at the wrong person.
Yeah, I guess that maybe it's just the heads down nature of the Empire. It just cracks me up, because this is not the only thing in Star Wars to do that. Like, it happens all the time in Star Wars, of just like dumb ability to get away from the Empire is like so aloof.
I mean, but no, and I get what you're saying, Brian, but also I think this was the point where the fifth brother locked down the station.
Yeah.
So that's where I was kind of like, wait, nobody's paying attention?
Right, to people.
Yeah, but she does have a real uniform. Yes. So that does get you at least so far.
Well, right. It gets you so far, but that's what I'm saying. If the station's on lockdown and you see this scruffy old man, like, that's what I was just saying. Like,
see, it just goes to show you how important employee culture is in a workplace, right? If you have people that are so scared to work there. This is obviously not a healthy work environment for everybody.
Well, you also got to remember,
not a healthy work environment.
What was it? The two stormtroopers. They're walking, like, when they're doing their patrols. Benefits. They even said it. This place gives me the creeps. I hope we're not stationed here long. So apparently nobody wants to be there anyway.
Yeah, nobody wants to be there. So they're like,
well, why would you? There's crazy people with magic and swords that cut you in half.
Right. That could go off at any moment, who have some serious anger issues, right?
It's not like they have self-control. Anger issues.
Yes.
Right. And a boss that kills, everybody kills people on whims, like these superheroes. You're going to do whatever you can not to make any kind of scene.
Yeah.
They will. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. One of them may kill you just for looking at them.
Yeah. Right. So you're not going to do anything.
Are you really?
Keep your head down and wait for retirement. That is 2 days from retirement.
That is really funny. Now you
until one of those people scream at you and say, go get them.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do it. See, look, I'm doing the thing. Don't kill me.
Yeah.
Dude, that is really funny. Now that I think about that, I guess that is maybe why it's so easy to infiltrate the Empire. Poor corporate culture.
What I thought was funny also, kind of in this scene, was when the ships come in for the rescue, and the one is firing the shots at Reva, she can't knock one back. But then the ship starts flying away. She picks up a battery, whips it out over, and nails it.
Right.
So it reminds me, remember the Titans. You can throw it a mile, but you can't pitch it 5 feet.
Yep.
That's funny. That's a good reference.
That's great.
Of course, we had the death of Wade, who I don't know why they made that such a big deal. They're like, well, but Wade died. We're like, who's Wade?
I think, well,
he's getting his own show.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, I think that was, well, the girl kind of looked like Rose. I'm like, this girl could be Rose's mother or something.
She didn't look that far off from Rose.
But I think it was more, they made it where these people were, even said they weren't soldiers. They were just, you know, normal people trying to help out. And now
it's like the
it's the beginning of this rebellion, and you're getting dragged, like they're getting dragged into it, and there's going to be casualties, and they got to make a decision. It's like, is it worth? Yeah, worth it. But and then after that, like that scene right when Vader's storming down the hallway, I thought that was great. Like the way they did that transition. Awesome. Yeah. The angry boss coming down the hallway and just walks in, force chokes her.
Dude, I thought that was a deep scene. And dude, interesting. Like, I really thought that was good. I did not see Reva like doing that twist and letting them go.
Yeah.
But I guess that, yeah, I don't know. Either she played it really well, or like, did she have like a backup card just in case? Like, I didn't see like the way she acted it. I guess. Right.
She made it sound like this was her plan, like to let Kenobi go.
Well, when you screw up that big and you know your life's on the line, you know you better have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she got her hands on that droid, she just did her thing or whatever she did, you know, and that was that.
Well, you could kind of see her like tinkering with the droid when she's standing there with her back to Leia, like, next to Leia in that. So
I saw her get the droid, and then I kind of just didn't pay much more attention with the interaction of what she was doing. So I kind of totally overlooked.
You would actually have to fully pay attention to like the whole scene, like when she's standing.
Yeah,
because
the way
the camera. Yeah,
I have not. No, it's the first one I didn't rewatch, but that's just because of scheduling this week. I was crazy busy.
It's just the way they did the camera angle. They didn't want you to fully see it though.
Got it. Also, if you hear some like hissing sound in the background of my audio right now, apparently a thunderstorm is just hitting right now, or really heavy rain.
Yeah, I just got a notification that storms are coming.
Really?
Yeah. You're in the basement, Brian, so you're fine, but I'm up on like the top floor of my house, so I can hear it very clearly. Regardless, okay, we were diverging into that, but I just wanted to give the listeners a heads up. If you hear some weird audio, that's what that is. So I have some questions for you then, because obviously Reva like gets away with her backup plan and this and that. Before this show is over, will Vader end up killing Reva? What's your bet on that? If you're like a Vegas odds of Reva dying by Vader's
No.
You want to know who I think will kill her?
Who?
Grand Inquisitor.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think she's getting her comeuppance some way or another?
Yes. And I think it's not going to be Kenobi. It's not going to be Tolerant. It's going to be the Grand Inquisitor.
That would be an interesting twist.
Something's going to happen. She's going to fail or purposely help Kenobi get away. And her punishment's going to be, she's going to be killed by the Grand Inquisitor instead of Vader.
If she turns to good and sacrifices herself, that would be a heck of a character. They better have a very good reason for her to do that.
Wow. Well, that's what I'm saying, because spoiler alert, if you haven't played Jedi Fallen Order, happens in there. I mean, it's happened a lot in Star Wars, but something's going to happen and her punishment, or she's going to try something and the Grand Inquisitor is going to come out of nowhere and just kill her.
Interesting.
After she fails.
Interesting.
Well, you know what would be a cool storyline would be if she was just got chosen for Padawan when Order 66 happened, right? Mm-hmm. Say she's 26 now.
Yeah.
So she was 16. Right. Say she gets, she was just chosen and Order 66 happens and her master was away on a mission and never came back. And she thinks her master is part of the path. And she just, and then this master shows up and they have this huge fight and argument, but that's what turns her back to the light. Not that I think that's what's going to happen in the show, but I just think that'd be a cool.
Could her master be someone like important?
Quinlan Vos?
That's what I'm saying. Could it be Quinlan Vos, who was known to be in that? Mm.
The way they said,
it's kind of weird though if she was just picked as a Padawan at 16, though. That's kind of
maybe not.
Padawan. What age did you get picked a Padawan?
I think between 12 and 13 is what they
okay, say. Okay, so maybe she was a Padawan. Maybe she was.
What if she's 23 now and she was 13? Then you know, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, could she just be his Padawan straight
or
up?
Or she could have been his Padawan we didn't know him to have a Padawan during the Clone Wars.
Yeah, so. He wasn't in all the episodes. He's only in a handful.
Yeah,
yeah, but the Dark Disciple book and.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah. All right. The other question. I have a couple other questions for you. Did you consider this a filler episode or no?
Me? No.
No. No?
I think this will actually. Possibly long term, like I said, for the reasons I already stated, be one of the better episodes on a second go through.
On a second,
when you see the whole series.
I like that. And then the question: when I think is reading some of the criticisms of Kenobi, right? And this is valid criticisms, not racist a holes that are saying things, but ones that actually have stuff. It seems to be missing expectations of getting more Vader and Kenobi in their interaction. Do you think that's something where these fans may feel better in the last two episodes? Will there be more interaction between those two characters to help make that group of people feel better?
I think there's going to be, my own personal speculation is because of the way Vader in New Hope says, the last time we met, I was but the learner and you were the master. That means they have to meet again in this series and Obi-Wan has to do some major damage and school Vader some. Because if you went by their last fight, Vader definitely was in control and that wouldn't give credence to that line later on in New Hope.
That's fair. That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't understand. I don't get the where they want all Vader and Kenobi interacting, because I think that would have ruined the show, I think, in my
opinion. Yeah, I agree. I think it could ruin that relationship between those characters.
I think I like how they're connected but separate right now. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe not next episode, definitely the last episode, you will have that interaction, face-to-face interaction that will please everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Vader should be used like Jaws.
Oh, yes. Okay. Dun, dun. Yeah, just instead of the doll scene,
you get
the
Empire scene. Moments of sheer terror and damage, and then bigger scenes, you know, for the finales and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. That's a cool way of looking at it. You know, it's really funny too. So there was two things that I heard that didn't ruin Star Wars for me, but made me laugh at what's going to happen. So they're like, if you look at the Kenobi series, they're like, break this down. Episode 1, Leia gets captured. Episode 2, Kenobi saves her. Episode 3, Leia gets captured. Episode 4, Kenobi saves her. What's episode 5 going to be? Is Leia going to get captured? Episode 6, is Obi-Wan going to save her? And I'm like, oh, God, if this happens like this, then
everyone's I hope that's what I'm saying. Go straight to Alderaan. You are ship. Go drop her off.
It would be funny
actually,
if
you know
it went
now
down
I
like
say that.
That.
I have a prediction for this next episode.
What do you got?
If they go to Alderaan, Leia's going to give Kenobi Lola. Because she doesn't know it's being tracked.
So Leia could
She's going to give Kenobi a going away gift or a thing or something. She's going to give her Lola.
So you're not alone in your cave. Oh, yeah.
And that's how they get tracked. That's how they track Kenobi down.
Okay. That's a good prediction. It'd be interesting
track him down to where.
Yeah, if you take Leia off
know.
The table.
I
can't be Tatooine.
It can't be Tatooine.
He has to make a pit stop. You know, somewhere. I don't know. Hyperspace jumps along, dude.
Unless he decides to go, stop back with them and help them out with something and then go home. But
it would help to also change from the trope of the show falling into, which I found out, I never realized was a Star Wars trope, which is the older mentor and young mentee. Like it's a very reoccurring theme in Star Wars, almost everything. Oh, yeah. And I guess I never paid attention to that, but it's like, the TV shows, even with Mando and Grogu, or with Anakin and Ahsoka, or happens
it's
over
totally
and over
that
and
way
again.
With all the characters, pretty much
all the characters. So I'm like, it could be a different story that way, right? That it would help to explain the separation between Leia and Obi-Wan Kenobi in New Hope a little bit more, like if she falls off. So I like that, Mike. I don't hate that idea. Don't hate that idea. Get her home, make sure she's safe, and then it all focuses on Kenobi for the last two episodes.
Yeah. I just don't know where they will have this, because like Brian, it can't be Tatooine.
Maybe it's Alderaan. Maybe he catches up with her there. I don't know.
That would be interesting, actually.
That would be interesting. Until we find out. Well, guess what? We got 1 week until we're talking about it, a couple of days until it comes out. By the time our listeners are listening to this, 1 day away. So this is your pre-listening.
This is your recap.
This is your recap going into episode 5 here. So, So I guess you guys, out of how many, what do you want? How many Lolas would you give this episode out of 5 Lolas?
4.
I'm going to go 4.5 just because of how
oblivious
the employees of the Empire are to their surroundings.
Interesting. You know what's funny? I was saying, because I was talking about like how I gave the first, 3 episodes, 5 stars each. I'm like, perfect, perfect, perfect. This one, so... Like I said, it was near perfect for me. I said it's the weakest of the bunch, but I give it like 4.7. Like, I still think it's a fantastic thing. Like,
man, maybe I went low.
You went low. Yeah, I'm surprised you jumped down a whole star. I'm like, woo, bro, I thought you were going to give it 5 stars, dude. And
mine was a nitpick on why you dropped mine, so.
Right. Me saying
that. Yeah, and I thought I was like the biggest fan of the episode.
Apparently not. You're the weakest fan. But with that,
you're the casual fan.
He's the casual fan. So anyways, everybody, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to our episode 4 recap here. As always, you can continue to reach out with any questions that you might have. You can hit us up at myroguepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at myroguepodcast on Facebook and Instagram, or not Instagram, excuse me, Facebook and Twitter, and also at myroguepodcast.com. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. This is Fanboy Eric.
I'm Super Fan Mike.
Casual Brian, signing out.